today on Real Radio.
Baptism is an outward declaration that you've repented of your sins. Tell me what a three-month-old or a six-month-old is going to repent of.
Man, I was nursing too long last night. I'm a glutton.
Come on. You have to be conscious of sin to repent.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Many of us have questions regarding ministry and the church. In this question and answer segment, Pastor Jack wants us always to be discerning in what and who we support by applying the Bible to every issue of life. Today, Pastor Jack continues by sharing his worldview on today's church, baptism and salvation, children and the rapture, and the deep hurts and tragedies of life. Many of us struggle with pain. The Bible says to give over our despair to the God who loves us and who gives us a future and a hope through Christ. Now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What happens is it's often driven out of jealousy and desire. Now watch this. The question was, my wife and I have been looking into the New Testament church. Even the question betrays their position. The church, Jesus defined the church in the book of Revelation. The seven letters to the seven churches were written by Jesus to those churches. And those churches you can study historically. Some were big, some were small. First and Second Timothy is all about church life and who qualifies to be a leader in the church. The word pastor is the word bishop in Scripture. That's in Titus, First and Second Timothy. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, it speaks about addressing and laboring alongside those who God has put as leaders over you. So this is a very, very important thing. Watch out you don't get pulled away. You say, well, what do I look for? What do I watch out for? A Be With Us group. If I began to tell you, you guys, if you don't attend Calvary here, you're probably going to go to hell or you're not really of the Lord. I would hope I'd be running out of here before you. You need to get out of here. You would need to run out of here. This place cannot save you. And let me tell you right now, this place is not the answer. This place is not the answer. Jesus and the Word of God is the only answer. And the thing is this, and this is important to me. I know I went over my bell. This is so important because be careful that by following a small fringe of people, hyper super spirituals, that your ministry in the body of Christ is not robbed from you. I grew up in a large church at Calvary Costa Mesa, and I thank God for that because it gave me opportunity to minister in a setting that says, no, you've got to be with us and you can't be anywhere else. Be careful about that. Bottom line is there love there? Are people welcomed? Is Jesus exalted? If the fruit of the Spirit's present, it's going to explode. Why? We know this from Scripture. And to say that I've studied the New Testament church and I don't see the model, I literally do not know what Bible you're reading. Literally do not know. It's being viewed, I would suggest to you tonight, it's being viewed by a very bitter and upset lens. And you need to take that to the cross because you know what? The Bible says a little root of bitterness will grow up and defile other people. Be careful. Be careful about that. I went over my bell, but I think that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have this question so much here, you know, we come under a lot of criticism sometimes, but the bottom line is this, it doesn't matter what church you're at and what the music sounds like or what color the pews are or whether you've got hymn books, the bottom line is this, are you growing with the Lord, are you being discipled, and are you getting the Word of God? And if you're getting that, then that's the authority on that.
And culture. Are you changing your culture? How are you affecting your community? This is biblical.
Yeah.
It's important.
Okay, this is This question, or you should be able to answer this pretty quickly. It says, is it true that we, as Christians, have to be baptized to go to heaven? I've been told that since I was very small. My dad is always on me because I haven't been baptized. He bases this on John 3, verse 1.
Yeah, I say yes. Yes, no, the answer is no. Should you be baptized? I'm saying, should you be baptized? Answer is absolutely yes. Why? If you're a Christian, you should be baptized because it's a public declaration of the fact that you've been internally changed. What circumcision is to a Jew outwardly, baptism is to a Christian outwardly. Now, we have a baptism coming up. And let's say you gave your heart to the Lord, or you're this person, and you've never been baptized. If you have the opportunity to be baptized, you should be baptized in obedience to the Lord. Does it save you? No, you cannot get baptized unless you're saved. That's why many of you have been baptized as an infant. You honestly, you made your parents really happy. But it did nothing. You got wet. According to the Bible, you got wet. That's all you did is get wet. Baptism is an outward declaration that you've repented of your sins. Tell me what a 3-month-old or a 6-month-old is going to repent of.
Man, I was nursing too long last night. I'm a glutton.
Come on. You have to be conscious of sin to repent. You have to be conscious of sin to repent. And so for us, you get in your car now. We're going to go to the baptism. And you're driving down to the baptism, and you get killed in a car accident. Oh, my goodness. Too bad. He was only 3 miles from heaven. That doesn't work that way. Thief on the cross wasn't baptized, okay? But then, listen, Philip witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch, right? And he was baptized immediately after he gave his heart to the Lord. If you have opportunity, get baptized immediately. If the baptism is when you're going to be baptized down at the beach with us, fantastic. But baptism cannot save you.
Okay, yeah, this question, it's not an amusing question, but your answer might be amusing.
Right.
If we believe that a young child goes to heaven when they die, will they also be raptured? And second part to that is, if we believe that a child who dies in the womb goes to heaven, and then the rapture takes place when the baby's still in his mother...
Awesome. That is an awesome question.
And the mother's not saved. Will the baby be raptured?
This is amazing. Okay, hang on. Book of Galatians says that where there's no knowledge of the law of transgression, there's no imparting of sin. Okay? So baby doesn't know, we just talked about them, a baby doesn't know sin. So a young child, I have no doubt, goes in the rapture. When a baby dies, like miscarriage like that or abortion, I have no doubt that the child goes to heaven. God knows everything. What is absolutely awesome to me is the concept, the picture in my mind of an unsaved, well, here's the funny thing. You have two women, one saved and one's not saved, both are pregnant out there till tomorrow, and the rapture happens. The saved mom and the baby go up in the rapture, and the other one doesn't. Listen, this is very fun. I've never heard this before. I would apply the word of God that child, which God says is a viable life, and your inward parts, he said, I was there. That baby's got to go, but what? Can you imagine? The baby's gone. In the rapture, the baby's in the womb. I've never heard this question before. A pregnant woman walking around, the rapture happens, and she's not a Christian. She stays behind, and she's got... Now, she goes from being pregnant to having belly fat because the baby's gone. Why wouldn't the baby not go? I don't know the answer to this question, except that the baby would go. That's what I would say. That's what I would say to me. That the baby would go, because the baby doesn't know. The baby is no different than a miscarried baby. The baby is no different than an aborted baby. I'm sorry, but that would be very funny to see happen. And I don't want any moms to be left behind. Wow. Never heard that in my life. Don't you think that's an amazing question? Are you here tonight if you ask that question? You're brilliant. That's fantastic.
Okay, we've only got time for one more question, unfortunately. And it's a little bit more serious of a question, and I think a lot of people have a version of this question, so I want you to kind of talk quite openly about it. This person says, I am a cutter.
A what?
I'm sorry, a cutter, like with a knife? Am I saying that correctly?
So is this a term, I'm a cutter?
That's, yeah, yeah.
They actually, this even has a title now.
Mm-hmm. A cutter, as in I cut myself a lot, almost every day. I seem so happy and joyful at church in front of my friends, but at home I feel so lonely, I feel useless, ugly, and fat. I know God is with me, but why can't anyone be my friend? Why can't anyone actually care? You'll probably say, cutting is wrong, but what else can I do? All my church friends vent to me, ask me for advice, but no one listens to me. I don't see a reason in living anymore.
Mm.
I don't see why going to church where everyone is worth it. I'm going to end it tonight after the message if I don't get some sort of an answer. And as the worship team come out, I mean, that's a really heavy question, and that's someone really reaching out, and there's a sense of hopelessness over their life. And they're obviously exhausted spiritually and emotionally. And everything that we speak about tonight, all these kind of questions, some of them are lighthearted, but some of them are pretty serious. At the end of the day, it's our relationship with Christ. And so many of these other things distract us from that sometimes. Sometimes we leave a church because for whatever reason. But this is what it all comes back to. This is the apex of what everything's about. And that is our heart is trying to connect with Christ, and we're trying to feel his love and the sense of his spirit. We're trying to have that revelation of his truth. And I think about this person, and they need to hear something tonight. So I'd love for you to share.
First of all, I don't need to tell you that cutting is wrong. I'm not even going to mention that, because let's first of all go with the fact that you're doing this because something has so traumatic happened to you over your life. Something has so happened that you... you feel like there's no control, that you don't have any control, that you have no control over your existence, that you have no control over your destiny, so to speak, okay? I'll come back to that in a second. And I don't want to hear a bell on this. This is ridiculous. This is someone's life here. This is someone's kid. Yes. All right? And you may be, mom and dad, you may be sitting in here tonight. This may be your child unaware to you. Now listen. Number one thing is, did we get any indication if it's a male or female? Did you remember hearing that? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, does it? It's a guy? Doesn't matter. Motive. You may be here tonight and you're a female thinking, that's me too. That's me too. This often manifests, cutting often manifests itself in conjunction with abuse. Again, goes to abuse. And people who I've talked to who were engaged in cutting themselves, they said it's the only thing that they can feel because they have no feelings anymore. It also communicates to them that they're the ones that finally have control. I can inflict myself to a point where I feel pain, and that gives me the power to continue or not, and I've never had control over my life because I've been sexually abused or so physically beaten as a child or so mentally maligned and ridiculed and mocked. Tonight, if you're a Christian, if you've ever considered yourself to be a Christian, I want to lovingly say this. Young man, dear sweetheart, You don't have the authority to take your own life, number one. Your life belongs to Jesus, which secondly should tell you how incredibly valuable you are. Listen, what people say can hurt terribly. All of us have our story. I have mine. I can tell you that if you let God be God in your life, and let me tell you right now, stop beating yourself up. He loves you, and you need to just stop right now being so condemned, because God will never condemn you. You're trying to pay the price for something that has been done to you, and this is not the answer. Will you please hear me, maybe hear us as a church home and a church family, when I say to you this, that the darkest, most difficult hours and issues and instances that have come against us as people, when the Lord is left to be God in your life, you have to take this now. Look, I'm not your dad, and so I can speak into your life right now. I don't know your parents, and I don't know you, but please hear me. I'm 54 years old, and I would tell you now, and I'm telling you now, when I was very young and I got beat so bad and got knocked out many times by beatings, today I wouldn't change it. When I was mocked and ridiculed for being a person that stuttered so bad, in those most impressionable times of your life when you want to like woo the girl or impress the guys, mocked and ridiculed, not understood. Now, I can tell you, I wouldn't have changed a thing. When I was 8 years old, walking home from school, again, a stutter, made fun of, a gang came by, six guys held me down, and each of them took turns urinating in my face. I wouldn't change a thing now. I would do it all over again. You want to know why? A couple weeks ago, I told you guys, if you pray for anything, pray for me to have courage. I need courage. You want to know why? The reason why I try to progress in courage, in the strength, listen, young lady, young man, the strength that I look back upon or lean upon to get is now wrapped up in Jesus. And after someone's peed in your mouth, and you've been beaten several times when you're knocked out, and you grow up being mocked and ridiculed and turn into a very violent person. Now, I was too big of a coward to hurt myself, but I hurt other people. That's how I got my revenge back, is inflicting pain upon other people. When Jesus gets a hold of your life, and I'm telling you tonight, whoever you are, Jesus wants to hold your life. He wants to make it right. Please hear me when I tell you. All the evil that's happened in my life, I would not change a thing of it now. Would not change a thing. And I want to encourage you tonight. If you're not a Christian, you need to say yes to Jesus now. You think this was an accident tonight? Do you think that this night happened? Listen, people, I had full intentions to do our next topic on the Worldview series. I was repeatedly distracted, couldn't get to the study, and so I realized it's been a long time since we had a Q&A. We'll do that tonight, because I didn't have time to get into the Word to give you something worthy. And I'm going to tell you tonight, whoever you might be, this night was for you. God knew where you were at. He interrupted. Well, I want a Bible study. Where's the Bible study? You know what? Read your own Bible for a second. This is for this person tonight. This is for this person tonight. You cannot take your life. Don't, listen, don't let those people control you. Do you understand that? You think, I know, you've been tricked, because when you cut yourself, yes, I can control this pain. It's a relief for me. I have some form of control. It's a trick. When When you say, I'm going to end my life tonight if I don't get a good enough answer, listen. Why would you let the people who have brought you to this place get ultimate victory? By snuffing out your life that belongs to God in the first place. For all of us tonight, do you believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead? Do you believe that when God said, I so loved you that I sent my only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life? You either believe that or you're calling God a liar tonight. No human on earth could have written just John 3:16. No one could have thought that up. And Jesus says to you tonight, I love you so much. People have abused you. The world has abused you. Jesus said, I'll never abuse you. You need to give your heart to Jesus right now. I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you're emotional. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Ask him, Lord, if you want my life, then I'm not going to take it. I'm going to give it. Did you hear me tonight? Don't take it. Give it to the one who loves you and will always love you. Let's pray right now for this person. Let's pray right now for this person. And if this is you tonight accepting Christ, then you just come right along with them. I am not going to ask anyone to raise their hand tonight. Stand up. Nothing like that tonight. It's too tender. Right where you're at, you do this. Father, I pray that you would just speak to this person who's written this email today. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, overwhelm them. In my mind, in my cartoon mind, Lord, tackle them. Tackle them until they come down to the ground. They're running, running, running. Tackle them. And Lord, just cover them in your grace. You love them so much. You're for them. Your Bible says that my thoughts toward you are for a future and for a hope to bring your life to a glorious and full completion. God's word to you is, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them as white as wool. God says, though you may be living, yet without me you are dead. Call to me and I will give you life. And my friend Jesus said, don't lose heart when they persecute you and say all manner of evil against you wrongly. They did that to me, Jesus said, and they'll do it to you. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus said, no man coming to me will I turn away. I'm asking you tonight, my friend, to turn your thoughts upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. You need to do this tonight.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in our second question and answer segment of the Worldview series, Pastor Jack would like to thank you for listening to today's message and wants to encourage you to always use Scripture to judge all things. Today's lesson was just one in our Worldview series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. Just breaking the ice. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you've got the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show that to your friend. And if you don't have it yet, don't forget, it is a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend is already a believer, direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.